Okay, good to see everybody here. Good to see Grandma here and Barbara. Glad to see you here. All right, we're going to have a lesson. It's going to be a simple lesson, but it's titled Dumber Than a Donkey. And you might think that's a strange title for a sermon. Well, I'll agree with you. It is kind of strange. I've never heard a sermon like this, or at least I've never heard a title of a sermon like this. But when we look at it, we're going to be honest here, and you probably know quite a few people who fit in this category. And I'm sure we all know people that really we can say this is where they are. Okay, we know it's not right to call someone dumber than a donkey. And it's just downright rude. So we shouldn't be doing that. And even if we consider them that, we shouldn't be calling them that. We just know that's just some things we just don't need to say. Or at least so we think. But is it wrong to call someone dumber than a donkey? Well, there are times when God described his people in much the same way. See, let's notice in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand." See, of course, God was speaking of the sinfulness of the people of Israel. I mean, they had just outright rejected him. And if we look carefully, we find that we might be in the same boat. If we're not careful, we can be in the same boat where we reject God. We reject what he says. I mean, that's the same thing. When you reject God, you reject what he says. That's what Jesus said about himself, and he told his disciples, "People are going to reject you, but it's not you they're rejecting, they're rejecting me. And if they reject me, they're rejecting the Father who sent me." And so, when we reject anything that Jesus taught, anything that God says in his holy word, guess what? We are no different than the dumb donkeys that God described his people. And so we do know that history repeats itself, and we should be aware of that. And many have quoted the famous words, usually attributed to Edmund Burke, "If we do not learn the lessons of the past, we are doomed to repeat them." Now, my guess is someone else probably made the observation before him, but he had an audience at the time, and his quote caught on, and so he was given credit for that quote. And that's usually what the case is. A lot of people who have quotes attributed to them, they probably heard it from someone else, and then they just happen to repeat it in the hearing of a lot of people. But anyway, that does happen. And so the Israelites back then had turned away from serving God and were bowing down to idols. And the people were mistreating others, including some in their own families. And so God tolerated them bowing down to idols and serving idols and mistreating people. But you know what? When it came to the point where they started mistreating the poor and people in their own families, God says, "I've had enough. I'm going to put an end to you guys." All right, so they had the same problems then that people have today. And there's no doubt about that. And can be summed up in three words: greed, pride, and selfishness. All right, so they had forgotten where their true blessings come from. And people today are guilty of the same thing. We have things, and we have money, we have possessions, and basically we all basically get to that point where, what do we need God for? I mean, I went out and got a job and got whatever I got, and so we kind of feel that way. But that's not how a Christian is supposed to be. All right, as we consider this passage of Scripture in Isaiah, it serves us as a warning to not take our own way of life for granted or use our faith as a crutch. You know, some people do that. And we shouldn't be doing that. As Christians, we are to be dedicated to serving the Lord. But do we really? I mean, do we really do that all the time? We probably make the appointment at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Well, we're going to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. But then after we say amen and say our goodbyes, are we dedicated to the Lord from then on until we meet again? I mean, we should be. Perhaps if we have nothing better to do at the moment, or if serving Him does not get in our way, we will do it. You know, a lot of people demonstrate this type of attitude, and really, I mean, they're just other more important things for them to do than to serve the Lord, or so they think. And so this does describe many who are in the church today. All right, so it definitely describes those who claim to worship Jesus but do not keep His commands. And that's basically in there. And that's one of our problems, is that most people do not really know what a true Christian is. People in this world do not know what a true Christian is because, frankly, they haven't seen a true Christian. They haven't met one, even though there's thousands of people claim to be Christians. I mean, so just because someone expresses a faith does not mean they are a true, sincere Christian. There's a lot of people in denominations. They think they're Christians, and they think they're right in the sight of God, but yet in many ways they have rejected God and His Word. And as a result, God does not consider them a true Christian. A true Christian will live the life that God wants them to live. Say, you know, example this. We see this in our world. Some sports personalities or some entertainment personalities, they profess to be Christians, yet their lifestyle and example do not show them to be living the life of a Christian. I mean, their dress is something that's really not fit to be seen by anybody. And they're walking around, like, well, I'm a Christian, but then they dress like this and they roll around on the ground and make all sorts of suggested movements and stuff like that. Or these sports personalities get out there and they curse each other out on the field, and they might score a touchdown and point up to heaven and say, hey, yeah, give praise to God. But then they're sitting there cursing each other and talking smack with each other, and they're certainly not living the lifestyle of a Christian. So, in fact, there are many who claim to be Christians, yet their lives are no different than people of the world. And so we see that's the case. And some may go to a church service sometimes, but their life is not consistent with the total dedication which Christ called for. See, it's like we read in Titus 1:16. It says, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So many claim a relationship with Christ, but their worship and actions do not follow His commands. And so that's where they are. Remember Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. All right, another reason people do not know what Christians are might be the fact that so many people refer to the United States as a Christian nation. I mean, we've all heard that. We've heard it called that. But the truth is that very few of the citizens of this great country are what God would call Christian. I mean, it's understandable. As you look at our society, you see it just about every sin being glorified. And those who denounce sin as hateful people. Yeah, that includes the preachers who do denounce sin. Oh, they're so mean-spirited, they are so hateful. And our society doesn't like people like that. But those who promote all sorts of sins and sexual deviancy, oh, they're praised, and they're called all sorts of wonderful names and things like that. And so most likely this is going to continue, so we who are Christians will have to be ever more vigilant, because, you know, even the scripture says the worst, they will get worse. The evil are going to get worse. And you think it's bad now, It's going to get worse. And so things have to take place for things to turn around. And it's not going to be something easy either. It's going to take some sort of major catastrophe before people will start realizing they need God in their lives. See, while this country was founded upon the right of people to worship as they saw fit, we know that the original colonists wanted to worship God as taught in the Bible. And other religions came in to make up our society. And so that's what they did. And these other religions turned people off of God and turned them away from God. And then, of course, that just gave rise to the agnostics and the atheists, and they started running the show. And so the majority of the religions reject God. They certainly don't listen to him. Most of them have already removed the Bible from any necessary means of authority. And so they just do whatever makes them feel good. And that's what people want. They want to feel good. And so how sad it is that so many who claim to be followers of the Bible reject God's commandments as found in the Bible. Yeah, there's a lot of commandments. And you know what? We're not much different. There's a lot of commandments in there that we fail to observe and keep. And so that's something else we need to work on studying more to learn what God wants us to do. All right. And sure, they offer excuses and reasons, but the main reason is they do not see fit to honor God as God. You know, we read that in Romans 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And the rest of Romans chapter 1 talks about all the evil, all the wicked ways, doing the unnatural and things like that. And they think sometimes it's strange that you don't participate with them. And so, yeah, they want you to. They want to encourage you to do that. I mean, the whole agenda of the LGBT is to just get rid of marriage between men and women and have anybody have sex with whoever they want to have sex with. That's what it's all about. And they want to promote it as natural, and where God says it is sin. And it's called fornication. And that's a word that our society doesn't use anymore. But that's what it is. It is fornication. All right. If we are to reach heaven, and we're talking about us, we know that we must make every effort to do those things which God has commanded. And so that requires study on our part. We've got to learn what God commands us to do. Because there's a lot of things we might read our Bibles and just go right on over and not even recognize them as commands. And that's just like I say about 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, people do not realize that is a command. Okay, it's a suggestion. It's maybe Peter encouraging the people to be faithful that he was writing to. But does that apply to me? Well, some people, by the way they're living, apparently it does not apply to them, or so they think. But they will stand before God and give an account of what they did or what they didn't do. Let's put it that way. See, those who refuse to submit to God's will are going to be refused the glory of heaven. And that's a warning we have to offer to people. Yeah, you can go through this life and do what you want, but if you're refusing God, he's going to refuse heaven for you. And that's not going to be very pleasant. See, there's many descriptions in the Bible about these people. And these people are described as obstinate, rebellious, stupid, evil, and the list goes on and on. And so stubborn is another one that fits in that category. That's what God called them when he was talking with Moses. So anyway, people who do not listen to God and obey him, they fall in this category. There's another category here that God puts them in. He calls them fools. The fools reject God. The fool says there is no God. And so that's what also fits in here. And so perhaps most people do not care about their souls, and that is very obvious, as many of them question whether they have a soul or not. There's so many people in this world today, they're growing up, they never went to church, they don't know they have a soul, they just live, I mean, for the moment, whatever goes on, whatever nature brings their way. I mean, they're game for it. And the sad thing is that the culture of our society is permeating into our churches. And they keep drawing it in here and saying, it's okay, you don't have to get worried. We're not going to be like those people. We're not going to be... But the problem is, it's permeated in. And then you're not going to appreciate it when the preacher stands up and says, thou shalt not. It's going to get to that point. They don't want to endure the sound teaching. And so that is the reason we're losing so many to the world today, is because we haven't stood up against these things. So our members are being told to conform to the world, even though the Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world. You recognize that from Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, this trend needs to change to where more people will serve God and turn away from the evil of our day. But why do they not do that? Because they're having too much fun. They're getting to do what they want to do, and it feels good. And that's how they live life. I mean, go for the gusto. I mean, it used to be a motto with one of the beer companies, go for the gusto. In other words, get drunk anytime you want to, and we'll support that. But we need to turn away from that and change. And it will be the true Christians that will make it happen. How are we going to make that happen? We've got a daunting task in front of us. We have so many out there who don't even care about God, don't want to hear anything about God, don't want you telling them what is right or wrong, and just leave me alone, let me do my own thing. Well, how are we going to do this? Our job is to help people get to heaven. And they're making it very difficult because they don't care about heaven. They don't care about heaven because they don't know there's a heaven. They don't even know there's a hell. And so they're not worried about it. They don't know that they have a soul. So they don't realize their soul is lost. So how are we going to get to them? Let's start the process and work on one soul at a time. That's how it's going to happen. We share the message one soul at a time. I mean, pick out somebody. Might be your neighbor, might be a coworker, might be a friend, might be a family member that you have to work on. But work on them regardless and help them out. So let us let our light shine and provide the example people need to see. And that's where we come into this. Because people aren't going to be interested in learning about God unless they see it and what it does for somebody. And people who follow God's plans and God's rules basically are the best people of all. And that they really stand out in a world that's full of evil. See, if the preachers of our land would be bold and courageous and speak the truth out loud, most of those influenced by the world and are not willing to change to what God wants them to be would just leave. And obviously they have. People have left. They don't like the truth. I mean, they still want to have these feel-good type lessons. See, if the preachers of our land spoke what the Bible teaches, many sins, which the world embraces, would have not succeeded in replacing the Bible. Let's face it, if the preachers got up and started... But the problem, here's the problem. Many preachers wanting to keep their jobs coddle these people and sugarcoat the message of Christ. So many of the members demand feel-good type sermons and lessons. And they do not want to constantly hear about the failure to keep God's commands and what will result from such behavior. It's not pleasant to be reprimanded. We know that. As Hebrews chapter 12 says, it's not pleasant for us to be disciplined. But who does the discipline? Our Father who loves us. I mean, they want us to do right. He wants us to do right. And therefore, he gets on our case sometimes. If we're not living the way we should be living, I mean, that's what he does. And we have to accept that and recognize if the preacher is stepping on my toes, there's a reason for that. It's not because the preacher is being mean-spirited. It's because those words are affecting you. They're touching your heart and saying, okay, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. See, Paul told Timothy that these times would come. You know, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wishing to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers of their own desires, and they will turn aside to myths and fables. And so that's going to happen, and we see that. That's why there's so many denominations out there. They give the people what they want. People don't want the truth. People don't want to be held accountable to God. They just want to feel good. And people in sin, they don't want to change from their sin. They just want someone to say, oh, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. And so that's why we have all these groups out there. Oh, we accept everybody. And you know what? We would open the door to anybody who wanted to come in. But we would expect them to change into what God wants them to be. And that's the difference between us and those others out there. You want to be a homosexual? Come on in. We'll let you stay that way. You want to be a thief? We'll let you stay that way. You want to be a murderer? Go ahead and keep doing that. No problem. Yeah. See, it's like Jeremiah said that the wickedness has permeated many people of God, and they love it so. That's in Jeremiah chapter 5. And so in chapter 5, verse 30 and 31, he says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? I mean, it's no different today. People come up and make up their own authority. You know, that's like the Muslims. I mean, depending on which mosque you're part of, the imam of that mosque, he basically lays down the law. And if you comply with what he says, then you're a good Muslim. If you don't comply with what he says, even though what he says is different from what the next mosque over might say and teach. I mean, so they're all different. And it's no different. I mean, when you get out there and look at all the denominations, you have all these different groups out there teaching similar but different doctrines. See, preachers who fail to influence people to actually serve the Christ will give an account to God on Judgment Day. So that's a reason why we have to continue doing this. If we don't warn people about the ways that they're living and the result of it, then we would have to give an account. A preacher has to give an account of what he teaches. Elders, if we had elders, they would be responsible for what was being taught to the flock. And so, basically, all this goes about just to remove accountability. And that's what most of this religious world is. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. I just don't want to be held accountable for what I do. My goodness, can you imagine our society if people started feeling that way? Well, that's what we got today. I mean, that's the way our society is today. I mean, nobody's held accountable. You realize that? We don't hold anybody accountable unless it's somebody we don't like. Now, somebody we don't like, we want to hold them accountable. But anybody else, hey, no big deal. Just a little misunderstanding or a little miscommunication or something. No, so that's the problem we face in this world today. All right. See, God pointed out that dumb animals knew where their meals came from. I mean, he made that point, and he compared his people and said, even they don't know where their blessings come from. And so God was upset because the people had turned away from serving him. And he is just as upset today when we stop serving him the right way. He's told us what he expects of us. We're going to have a lesson next month. What does God expect of you? What does the Lord require of you? We've got that coming up. And so if we're not careful, we may repeat what they did. And God will consider us as dumb donkeys. So I don't want you to be considered such, and I hope you do not want to be considered such yourself. But if you continue to turn your back on God, he's going to consider you a dumb donkey. And we don't want that to happen. That's why we encourage everyone to be faithful to the Lord, put their life in God's hands, and put your trust in God, and do what he asks you to do. Do what he tells you to do, and don't do what he says not to do. So your response to this message will tell what you are. Are you going to be a faithful Christian, or are you going to be a dumb donkey? I mean, the choice is yours. That's really no other way of saying that. The choice is yours. So consider that. That's our lesson for today. We all know what we need to do. We need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to be faithful every day of our lives. Not just on Sundays, but every day of our life. We need to let our light shine as Christians, as shining examples. Because Paul told the Philippians, you shine as examples in this perverse world. And yes, folks, we live in a perverse world, and it is evil to the core, and we're trying to get by, and we cannot sit there and play with the world and expect God to accept us like that. We've got to recognize this is the way of the world. We should not be doing this. You know, Ephesians 2, he talked about before you became Christians, you are part of this world. You indulge in the flesh of this world. You were separated from God. But now in Christ, you're made alive together with God in Christ. And then he goes on to tell us to grow in grace and knowledge, to study, to show ourselves approved, to be diligent, to apply all these things to our faith. And if we do those things, we'll never stumble. But folks, if we stop doing those things, we've already stumbled. And we're already falling out of the favor of God, and we don't want that to happen. So you know what you need to do. You look at yourself, examine yourself, and if you need to make changes, we'll help you in any way that we can. And we're going to invite you to come all together. We stand and sing.